Hi, and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. And as you know, each show I interview somebody about their tips, their expertise in health and well-being. And we're taking a really different angle on that today. And today's interviewee is Holly Bantleman of Raise the Roof Kenya, who's a local Chertsey girl. Fairly recently, moved here in April. And welcome, Holly.
Thank you. Hi, Jo. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. In fact, I'm really looking forward to it. So, Holly, I brought you here because you make me curious. And because you inspire me very much, in fact, with what you've done. So what I'd love to do first is to ask you to tell us about Raise the Roof Kenya. So it's a charity, and to tell us what it does, just straightforwardly.
Raise the Roof Kenya works with communities living in extreme poverty in Kenya. We work on a grassroots level. Our whole team is volunteer-based. And at the moment, our current project is something called the Bruce Youth Development and Sports Centre. And it's working with teenagers that haven't had the opportunity of secondary education and training them in skills. So currently tailoring and agriculture and seeing them through a two-year course and then into employment, which was something that was greatly needed in the area. We also provide medical clinics for a whole community to come together, additional workshops and training for adults and the wider community.
Okay. And so how on earth did you get to start Raise the Roof Kenya? What happened?
Well, 3 years ago, I took a year out from work, was a little bit burnt out, and then decided to go travelling for a year. Came home, somehow 3 days later, ended up on a flight to Nairobi, and found myself volunteering with local organisations working in a town called Nakuru. And I met people living on a dump site, and it was coming up to rainy season, and they needed tin roofing because a lot of them were living in cardboard and tarpaulin. And so I sort of came home solely with the intention of setting up a project that would provide them with tin roofing, which was going to be about £500,
okay.
Hence the name Raise the Roof. However, it grew and here we are now, sort of put children into school, paid for medical bills, started single businesses for single mums, and grew over the last few years, and here we are now.
So when you started with that sort of £500 project, I guess my curiosity is, so much of the time, you know, we do experience situations in the world where which we find intolerable, and yet, I would say it's a relatively small minority who turn that into some kind of action. And so I'm really interested to know, you know, what made you actually decide to do something?
I think I could actually see exactly where my money would go. And I could see that just a small amount like £500 would have such a large impact to the community and benefit so many people. And I'm very into kind of just doing things and going with it, and a lot of the time that seems to be how I sort of get things done and why I have got so far with it, because I just go with it, and sometimes it scares me and I have no idea what the outcome is going to be, but you just go with it and put your whole heart into something and generally you have a positive outcome. Most of the time.
And Holly's actually wearing a t-shirt which says yes is a doing word, say yes more. So and I love that. I think that's fantastic. So I guess it would be interesting for people to know what your background is, because it's nothing related, is it?
No, I actually work in TV. I'm a camera operator, and I think actually having done this now, I'm actually better at my job and a more relaxed individual at work, because there are times when TV life can get quite stressful, but actually I can kind of take myself away from that and look at it at what it really is and deal with it with a much clearer head, because actually other things that I manage are far more in some ways important on a greater scale, and I'm just a bit more of a relaxed individual generally, I'd say.
Well, and I guess there's a sense of perspective.
Exactly.
That, you know, you're gaining. Mm-hmm. And so around that, I mean, what is it that the community in Nakuru are actually facing? You know, tell us more about the conditions there and about, you know, what a life there looks like, because that's going to be very different from what we may be experiencing here in North Surrey.
Yep, there is a bit of a contrast. Where we work, it's an area called Barut. It's about 7 kilometres outside of the main town. generally people live in mud huts with a tin roof. Most have never attended secondary education, so there's a lot of unskilled people. Many don't speak English. Generally, a girl might wash clothes for maybe 30p. A boy might shovel sand. Generations of, like, within one family are dependent on grandparents. Food, sort of staple food, I guess, is kind of maize beans or maize flour, rice if they can get hold of it. But no, it's quite a dire situation, actually, and a lot of the time quite shocking to see. Even still now when I go back, it still gets to me. And I think over the last few years, I guess I'm quite used to seeing it, but I still am quite shocked and my breath gets taken away quite a lot of the time still.
Yeah. And so what difference have you been able to make? So so you have the medical clinic and you have the education centre, but what about, you know, the stories of individuals and how it's impacted their individual lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of our students, for example, came to us not being able to speak English. They now do. They'd never had the opportunity to go to school before. You know, a lot of us, we run a lot of extracurricular things, sport and football and that sort of thing. And they actually have enjoyment in their lives now, which wasn't something that was there before. A lot of the time it was about survival. Mm-hmm. And we also work with a lot of local partners, and we've been able to tie a few that mean upon graduation, which will be in about a year and a half, our students will be employed by local organisations, ones that are known for how well they treat their staff. And so they actually now have opportunity, which was never there before. And there is a sense of community and them all bonding and coming together. We have a student body, so each of them can kind of take empowerment from it. And, you know, we have sort of student representatives and sports captains and that sort of thing. And they're all quite empowered, I think, and kind of see that they can actually do more with their lives, and actually shoveling sand or cleaning clothes isn't going to be the rest of their life anymore.
And what you brought to my mind just then was the word hope, you know, that there's a hope of a different future than perhaps they would originally have been able to see.
Exactly. And I think many of them now know that they will be employed at the end of it if they obviously work hard. So, you know, it's not just going to be handed to them on the plate. They do need to work at it and they do need to take control of their own lives. But they can see a light at the end of the tunnel, which wasn't there before.
So have you ever thought about doing something in the UK? You know, you did your £500 project, mm-hmm. and then you kept going in Kenya. Have you ever thought about doing anything in the UK?
In terms of a beneficiary in the UK?
Or yes, in terms of a Raise the Roof UK, you know, just straightforwardly a similar charity project here.
Yeah, we are actually, for the first time in a couple of weeks, we have a team of people from a charity called Regenerate who work with young people from estates in Roehampton and areas like that, and they give them an opportunity to go to Kenya, work with local organisations, and they tend to have sort of a life-changing experience and come back generally as reformed characters. And I've worked with them here in the past and volunteered with them, and they're coming out to work with us in Kenya in a couple of weeks. So we are trying to actually work towards a UK beneficiary arm as well.
Okay. Oh, that's fascinating. And I'm curious for yourself to explore a little bit more about the health and happiness side of it, because, of course, this is a show about health and happiness. And I was reading just last week some of the latest research from Martin Seligman, who's a psychologist that I absolutely love and have quoted here before. And he was talking about happiness, people trying to find happiness in three ways. So one, the pursuit of pleasure. So stuffing your life full of enjoyable things, basically. One, the pursuit of engagement. So where it's all about your social connections, your family, your friends, and that sense of belonging and community. And the final way being the pursuit for meaning and a meaningful life. And what really interested me was he was saying the happiest are the people who combine the pursuit of engagement and the pursuit of meaning. So it's the mixing of belonging with something that's larger than yourself, than, you know, a purpose to your life. And I guess I want to ask you what your reflection on that is, having been somebody who's just like, you know what, I'm just going to chuck myself into this and see what I can do.
Yeah, I think generally, I mean, there are even statistics that show that people that give back are generally happier individuals. And I think from doing it myself, you do get a bit of a buzz from it. And although the grand scheme of things, it's not about me and it's not really about our volunteers, it does add something to their lives. And actually, a lot of people come to me because they find that they're sort of lacking something in their career or it's not quite fulfilling them. Yes. And a lot of them say, how can I get involved? What can I do to help? And actually, a lot of the time, it helps them with a more of a balance in their lives and actually gives them that perspective that means they can go to work and do what they normally do, but they've got something else going on as well. And yeah, I think sort of happy endorphins, I think, you get from helping other people. I mean,
yes, absolutely. I mean, that's a known thing, that you can get a release of endorphins from that sense of being able to help somebody, being genuinely able to help, and to see the difference that you individually can make. Because we get this really interesting conundrum where some of the time we feel really insignificant because we're just one of so many billion people on the face of this planet, and the planet is one of so many billion stars in the universe and planets. And on the other hand, the fact that each individual can have real significance. And it, like, on the micro level, I'm so aware of that. The words that I use, the way that I look at somebody, the way that I drive, the way I open and close the door can affect somebody else's day and existence positively or negatively. And every single moment is an opportunity. So aware that we're sort of coming towards the end of our time and wanted to just give people an idea of how they can help, because I know there's an actual critical moment in time now. So why don't you tell us about what's happened recently and how people could help?
Okay, so unfortunately, of late, there was some very bad weather in Kenya where we're based, and there are actually some 100-mile-an-hour winds which took the roof, ironically, took the roof off of the Razor Roof building, and currently there is no roof. It hasn't stopped learning because our students are carrying on in an unfinished building, but we are desperate now to get the roof back on. We do need to raise money to do this. At the moment it's looking about £10,000 to re-raise the roof. So I mean, if anybody's interested in donating, or if anyone knows a civil engineer who might be interested in a little pro bono project, and I mean, we try and make it fun. I mean, if there's other ways that people would like to get involved, whether that means dedicating some time or, you know, volunteering some skills that they might have that they think might help with this, but I mean, we're always looking for new people to get involved. So even outside of the roof issue, we're always looking to expand our volunteer team and look for new ways of raising funds in a fun way.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Because you do want it to be fun, because it's more sustainable if it's fun, if nothing else. So where do people go to find out more information?
You can look at our website. It's www.raisetherookenya.com, and you can find all our contact details on there.
And, you know, it's something that groups of people can get involved in. So I actually know Holly because we're both in a network of local businesses called the Athena Network. And we've taken it on as a group of local entrepreneurs who really want to help. So we've got people running marathons, half marathons. We're going to be doing a big networking event. We'll have a raffle. We'll have an auction of promises. So there's all sorts of things that you can do, as well as the time and skills side of it. So do get involved and, you know, contact Holly through raisetherookenya.com and see how you can jump in. Just say yes. Yes is a doing word. So thanks so much, Holly, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with the next Feel Good with Jo with a fabulous Australian artist, Tara Winona. Thank you. Brooklyn's Radio.